The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to First Bite, our Detroit Lions midweek podcast, part of the SB Nation Pride of Detroit podcast series, let's call it. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online. We are in the middle of our Getting to Know the Detroit Lions Draft Picks series, which is a name that I just came up with. But we're starting from the back of the draft. We are on the Lions' first sixth-round pick, Malcolm Rodriguez. Before we get into our guest who will help us break down Malcolm Rodriguez, let me get into my co-host, senior editor of Pride of Detroit. You can find him at Ryan_POD. It's Ryan Matthews.
We're really going to workshop that title, but I don't hate how descriptive it is. I think it's to the point. It is. Maybe we just need to get there in a quicker way.
Sure.
But I love it.
We're gonna pause the podcast before. We're not going to go so quick because we do have to tell our live audience here that, you turn what, 23 today, Ryan?
So as my wife told me last night, I am no longer 30. I am in my 30s, and no. I told her, yeah, that's not the nicest way to say that. I'm getting older.
Well, thank you for spending the early parts of your 30s with us.
Thank you.
Let's bring in our guest. It's Terry No Further. Let's get talking about Malcolm Rodriguez, and to help get us to know everything about him, we have to get an expert. And so we got the Oklahoma State beat writer for football from the Oklahoman. It's Scott Wright at Scott Wright. Okay. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Really appreciate your time. Sorry, I just wasted the first 3 minutes of it, but I had to get that out. we like to start by getting to know the person first, because we've all, you know, spent the last 2 weeks looking at every highlight, looking at all that. One thing we can't see is the person behind, you know, the face mask. So let's start really at the beginning, the moment he lands at Oklahoma State. First, what's your reaction to landing him? I know he's only a three-star recruit, but was there preconceived notions about him, or did he make a first impression in any sort of way that's hung with you?
You know, it's interesting. I'm actually going to go back even farther than that, because his arrival at Oklahoma State coincided with my move to the Oklahoma State beat. We came in at the same time. Before that, I was covering high school, so I was very familiar with him at Wagner High School in Wagner, Oklahoma, and his, you know, helping them to three state titles and quarterbacking that team. I covered him in some wrestling as well, so I was very familiar. Even though Wagner is a couple hours away from us here in Oklahoma City, I was very familiar with what he was doing up there, and knew a little bit about him from that. It was really interesting to see his recruitment develop, because there just wasn't a lot happening for him. He'd been doing all of these things. He was so good at so many different things in different sports, a two-way guy in football, who was a three-year starter at quarterback and led him to three titles, obviously a talented defensive player, but he just wasn't breaking through on the recruiting circuit for some reason. You know, Wyoming was his only Division I offer until there was a junior college in Oklahoma that had started kind of looking into him and was really fascinated with why he didn't have bigger opportunities. And they had a connection at Oklahoma State, reached out, and suddenly Oklahoma State is in on him, and they make an offer, he commits, and the rest is history. But it was really interesting because he was clearly a talented athlete and a great kid. He had an older brother who had gone through and been a successful athlete and played college football as well. So people knew about his family. They knew that they were really salt of the earth type of people. And so it was a really fascinating process to watch. And, you know, once he landed at Oklahoma State, you felt it was a place that he was going to fit in well and be able to flourish both as a player and as a person. And that really, really became the case. I'm not sure if I addressed everything you got to there, but far away, anything else you'd like to know about Malcolm?
Well, so Scott, I want to ask you, and we'll get to this a little bit later in regards to, you know, his physical traits as a player, but like you talked about how there wasn't a whole lot of interest in him during the recruitment process. Did that have to do with his build and maybe like the uncertainty of where he would play, just because, you know, at the high school level, he can play like linebacker, safety, he's just this guy who's flying around and making plays. Was that kind of the concern about like maybe his size going into college?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of that. You know, he was 5'11", still is, and he wasn't nearly as bulky as he is now. He was probably playing in the 180 range back in high school.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
a lot smaller guy at that time. You know, the athletic gifts were obvious, but there were just some holdups, and it's very possible that the lack of size was one of them, because it made it a little bit difficult to see exactly where he's going to fit in on a roster, because like you alluded to, he's able to do so many different things, and you know, figuring out a clear path for him was probably a little bit difficult for some college coaches.
I want to talk a little bit about the wrestling, because he told the story kind of his wrestling career in high school, where he was runner up one year and then decided to bulk up, and then he won two straight titles. So you said you covered him a little bit as a wrestler. I guess my question is just how much do you think that influenced him kind of morphing into, you know, I can't think of any other word than a beefcake. like that's who he, like, I watched him out there in minicamp, and that dude's thighs are the size of my head. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. I definitely think there was, I think his wrestling background influences him in a lot of ways, and we'll probably get into some more of those later. So I'll save some of that, but his attitude is definitely born from that wrestling nature, that wrestling background that he has, his toughness, his no quit attitude, the approach that he has to the game. And a lot of that comes from that, you know, his understanding of how to gain good weight, which was such an important thing as he bulked up over these last couple of years to fill that linebacker role. So, you know, he's got a really good understanding of what he's putting into his body. And, you know, sort of to touch a little bit more on his personality, you know, he's got Hispanic family on one side, he's got Native American family on the other. Lots of good chefs in the family, from what I understand. So he is a big fan of food, but he understands that, you know, what kind of food to be putting in his body. And, you know, I've written some stories about his family and things like that, and got to know them a little bit. And it's been a lot of fun, but, he's got some very specific dishes from the family that are very important to him and are core parts of what he does, just as a person, and also to have bulked up the way that he has.
That's good intel. I might have to ask him about some of those dishes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Grab some recipes for sure. So Scott, you know, he spent, Malcolm did, 5 seasons at Oklahoma State, and he kind of shares, you know, a rare, I guess, distinction that another Lions draft pick has, and that he was a COVID super senior like Chase Lucas. So spent a lot of time at Oklahoma State there for 5 years. what is that time that he spent at Oklahoma State and like staying there, you know, with the COVID season? What does that kind of tell you about him? Like what kind of personal growth or the maturation process while he's at Oklahoma State kind of tell you about who he is as a person?
I think two things that tell you a lot about him from that. Number one, when he reached his actual senior year, he understood that he was not big enough and did not understand the linebacker position well enough to go be a potential draft pick at that point. And he knew that he could get himself to that point. On the other side of things, he had changed his major midway through his time at Oklahoma State, and he was not ready to graduate yet at the time that he was finishing up his senior season. He had another full year of classes, and getting that degree was really important to him. You know, he's a guy that definitely wanted to go play football at the next level, but he's very grounded and understands that the NFL is not going to last forever. And so those were two things that were very important to him. You know, the growth that Oklahoma State had shown as a program, and particularly as a defense over the first 3 years of Jim Knowles' time as a defensive coordinator going into last season, which was Knowles' fourth season, was something that Malcolm felt he was a big part of helping that defense grow, and he knew how special they could be. And they ended up being one of the best defenses in the country last season. And it was a big part of it was because of him. So he is a guy that is incredibly loyal and incredibly driven to be as good as he can possibly be. He's got an interesting personality in terms of he seems very serious all the time. When you're talking to him, he'll smile and is very friendly, but he seems to always be on task with what he's discussing. But then he's also got this silly side that we in the media don't always get to see. Mm-hmm. I've talked to his family and his friends, and they see it a lot more than we do. But he'll let it slip every now and then when you're talking with him, and he'll slide in something very dry and very witty that completely catches you off guard, and it's really entertaining.
Well, that seriousness, that you know, leadership on the defense that turned around the Oklahoma State defense led him to be a two-time captain. So as a captain, what did you see in terms of his leadership? Is he kind of a more lead by example guy? Is he a vocal guy? Or is he just kind of, you know, whatever the coaching staff needs him to be?
He can be both. Mm-hmm. I think the key with him is that he understands when to speak and when to be the vocal leader. Mm-hmm. So that it's an impactful moment for him and his team. He's not a guy that's constantly yelling, getting in guys' faces or doing that type of stuff. He's more reserved than that. But he is he's an incredible leader by example with how he works, what he does in the weight room especially, and what he does on the practice field. But when he knows that something needs to be said, he doesn't shy away from it. So he understands that dynamic, I think, incredibly well. And I think that's something that will be very valuable for him, because he's going to be obviously in a completely new situation, and he's the new guy now coming in. And so he's going to earn respect with his work ethic, and then eventually, you know, hopefully get to the point where he can be one of the leaders in whatever group it might be, that whether it's special teams or eventually the defense, whatever it is.
Do you want to go to break yet, Jeremy, or can I squeeze one more question in?
Get one in there. You got it.
All right. So, and this will just be a quick one, Scott. Any stories about Malcolm, either on the field or off the field, that kind of understand his personality? Any kind of like encapsulating story? Like, that's a Malcolm Rodriguez story that I remember.
You know, one of the really interesting ones was at Big 12 Media Days last July, right before the season, because he had always been, you know, early in his career, he was a really quiet guy, didn't like interacting with the media a lot. And when I say quiet, I'm talking about media interactions only, you know, but he didn't like, I shouldn't say he didn't like it. He just wasn't really comfortable with it yet. It was a very different process for him, something entirely new coming from a class 4A, which is middle of the road in terms of size in Oklahoma high school. So he got to major college. The media demands were a lot different than what he was accustomed to. And so you saw him slowly grow into a guy who became much more comfortable. And you know, kind of the stories I alluded to with him, kind of letting his wit and dry humor kind of pop in every now and then. We really started to see last July at Big 12 Media Days. He was a guy that didn't always have a lot to say in media situations, but that day it was you could see that we were really seeing a lot more genuine version of who he was, and it was really fun to see. And we talked to him a ton throughout his super senior season, and so it was great to have that insight and have a little bit more of his actual personality coming out. So it was really enjoyable.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into Malcolm Rodriguez, the player on the field, and see what the Lions have, see what maybe his potential is in the NFL, and see what, you know, there are a lot of Lions fans he could develop into a starter. We'll see if Scott Wright from the Oklahoma agrees. So stick with us. We'll be right back on First Bite.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
And we are back here on First Bite, talking all things Malcolm Rodriguez here with Scott Wright from the Oklahoman. We talked about the player a lot. We talked about the person a lot. Let's get into the player here. I don't even know where to start here with Malcolm, because his stat line is absolutely ridiculous. I guess let's start here. So started off at safety, played safety in high school. Tell me about that transition to linebacker. And I guess when you maybe saw like, oh, it clicked on for linebackers. That's where he has a shot in the NFL.
You know, in terms of his NFL potential, it was really probably just the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. You started to see it a little bit in the 2020 season. You really saw it in 2021. But, you know, you go back farther than that, and it was – so the initial move was made because they were really lacking depth at linebacker. And they had some injuries in August, and came into a point in that season when they or before that season when they decided they had to do something significant to shore up the linebacker issues. And they had a lot of depth at safety. They identified Malcolm because of his skill set, and particularly his tackling ability, as a guy that could fit in at that linebacker spot. But he moved up there and was playing at about 205 in the 2019 season. Not nearly as big as he is now, obviously, but not big enough at that point to be a Big 12 linebacker. So it was really a challenge from a physical standpoint, but you could see right away that his playmaking ability still stood out, and he was still able to go and do things that were able to help the team, even though he wasn't necessarily big enough to really get in the mesh in the in between the tackles and do a lot of things. Now he obviously has dedicated himself to becoming better at that and grew significantly in that realm. But you know that first year had some rough patches, but his overall skill helped him to avoid some of those. And you know, he made some really critical plays throughout that that first season. He had an interception that he returned for a touchdown at Iowa State that was a huge play in that season and in his career that helped them seal a win up there. So that was a really big moment when you realized that he had the talent to be there, even if he didn't quite have the size just yet.
Yeah, and like Jeremy had mentioned, and you also talked about a little bit there, Scott, the ability to like just make tackles, like, you know, Jeremy said, like the kind of stats that he put up. I mean, granted, yeah, I mean, you're there for five seasons, but you know, 409 tackles is a lot of freaking tackles like that. Yeah. It, you know, and it's usually not the measure of like, oh, like a good linebacker gets a lot of tackles, but I look at a different stat, right? And the stat that stands out to me is 60 games played, 48 started, and it seems like the guy is just as durable as they come. And everybody who watches the show knows that my favorite ability is availability. Like, is that number of 409 just a testament to how durable the guy is?
In a lot of ways, yes, it is. And you know, a lot of people look and say, yeah, he played five seasons. You know, maybe that diminishes the tackle number a little bit. His true freshman year, he initially was going to redshirt and pulled off his redshirt because they needed some depth on special teams. And so he came in, only played special teams as a true freshman, and only played in nine games, had 11 total tackles. So he had 398 tackles over four seasons, one at safety, three at linebacker. So you look at it that way, 398 is still a pretty big number. And his durability is a huge part of that, because just like we talked about the 2019 season, when he was definitely undersized, he never had injury issues. He didn't get banged up. And if he did, he was playing through things and it wasn't showing in the way that he was performing on the field. So his durability is absolutely critical to what he does. And like I said, he's long been very committed to taking good care of his body, doing all the right things to make sure that he is at peak performance level when he steps on the field.
Let's jump a little bit into the technical side of his game, because, you know, we mentioned kind of the small stature. He's listed at 5'11", or yeah, 5'11", what was it, 232 or something at this level. So that's obviously what a lot of people point to as the issue. He's got short arms too, at least in comparative. I always want to say in comparative to the position, because his arms, I'm sure, are a lot longer than mine. But how did he compensate, I guess, for that at the college level? When that can be, obviously, you know, he had to bulk up, and maybe 232 is acceptable at the college level. But I guess how does he win despite the shortcomings, I guess, with the body type?
I think the biggest thing for him is he's a very instinctual player, and really, in particular, you always saw it a little bit, but you really saw it last season, his ability to read a play and know where it was going. And that's something that I think is really going to benefit him as things get more complex in the NFL. His intuitive nature is a real benefit, and he understands how to keep himself out of the danger areas that can be a hindrance to him. So he's not going to get himself locked up in a block that is going to prevent him from getting to the hole, the gap that he needs to be in. So he understands the movement of football very well. And I think that is incredibly critical to what he did at Oklahoma State and what he's going to be able to do with the Lions, because his understanding of the game is incredible from watching him develop, from having never really played linebacker at a serious level in 2019 to what he was last fall. Was really incredible to watch. You know, you look at his 2019 film, you're still going to see him, you know, getting caught up in you know, being in the wrong spot, being in bad situations where he can't get out. But you know, his athletic ability would still bail him out from time to time. His ability to make sure that he is in the right spot, and then when he's there, he does not miss tackles. I mean, you know, he's obviously going to be going against a different level of ball carrier in the NFL on a regular basis. But he saw some pretty good ball carriers throughout his time in the Big 12, and the guy just does not miss tackles. That's the most impressive thing about his entire resume is out of those 409 tackles, I would love to know the number of the official stat on his missed tackles throughout college, because it's a minuscule number, I guarantee.
Scott, so I have one other question about just that change from playing safety to playing linebacker, because as we mentioned in the first segment, there was that transition that he made even in high school, like playing that safety linebacker hybrid kind of role. Do you think that there's any opportunity at the next level that he can maybe moonlight at safety, maybe in certain packages? Like, do you see him as just like strictly maybe being a linebacker, or do you think that he has the, instincts of a defensive back that he can make some heady plays and be called upon to play safety in certain situations?
Yeah. If the situation is right, I think that he has the skills. He has the knowledge. Being a former quarterback, he understands how to read quarterbacks a little bit. So I think that there are situations where he can be put in a coverage package or whatever it might be, and be able to handle himself really well. He didn't have a ton of interceptions throughout his career, but he wasn't asked to do that a lot as a linebacker. But he had a really big one. I talked about the one at Iowa State. He had a really big one against Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, his last college game. That was a hugely crucial play in a big comeback that Oklahoma State had that day. So, he's a guy that is not going to be uncomfortable if he's asked to be in a safety type role or just in coverage as a traditional linebacker.
And he's got plenty of athleticism too, right? He's got plenty of speed, plenty of agility. But I want to go back to the wrestling thing really quick, because I have to imagine that you mentioned the guy doesn't miss any tackles. I have to imagine part of that is probably influenced by his coming up as a wrestler. Is there any other part of his game that you notice maybe has translated from wrestling to football, something that helped him prepare for a football career?
The understanding of leverage in a situation, yeah, when he's going against a guy that's bigger than him. There was a play against Missouri State at the beginning of last season where he's in position to try to make a tackle, and a lineman is coming at him from the side, and he's able to just sort of grab the guy and hip toss him out of his way and never lose track of the play that was in front of him. And so his understanding of leverage is incredibly important, and plays a big role in his tackling ability, because he understands how to get a guy to the ground, where to hit a guy, how to hold and roll and get a guy down. So that wrestling ability, if you go back and watch OSU games from the last couple of seasons, it turned into a drinking game with fans every time they brought up his wrestling background, because it was such an influential part of it that every broadcaster was so drawn to it that they wanted their chance to talk about it. And so fans loved it and had a blast with it on Twitter, because it's been such an influential part of his growth into the player that he has become.
Well, if any Oklahoma State people are listening, that's two drinks so far. We might fit in a third.
I don't want to speak out of turn, Scott, but I'm assuming that you're not a huge Detroit Lions fan.
No, I would not say that. No.
Okay. All right. So I know that this question that I'm about to ask you might be kind of hard to answer, because maybe you don't know the landscape of the team, but like, as far as first year expectations for Malcolm Rodriguez goes, you mentioned, there was that time, you started to see it in the COVID year in 2020, and then 2021, you're like, okay, this guy's an NFL football player. He should be playing at the next level. What are your kind of built-in expectations for Malcolm in year one, playing for, an NFL football team, regardless of whether or not it's a Lion? It's like, what do you think Malcolm brings to the table in year one?
Well, and I'll say this, addressing obviously No, I don't know the intricacies of the linebacker position for the Lions right now in terms of what he's going to be facing and trying to get a spot on that roster. But here's what he's going to bring and why I think he's really valuable and a great value as a sixth round pick is that he's shown throughout his career that special teams play is not an issue for him. He is thrilled for the opportunity to be on the field in any situation. He was always willing to step out there and do what he needed for his team. And I can only imagine that's even strengthened at the next level because he understands how big a deal it is to be part of an NFL team. So, you know, he's going to be a guy that comes in with his athleticism, with his speed and his tackling ability can be really valuable as a special teams guy right away. I think that's going to be a big key for him being on a roster, whether it is the Lions or someone else when the season kicks off. So I see that as being a huge value to him as his career progresses. From there, he needs to, as a linebacker, he needs to be in a good situation where he's going to be used right because he does have some inherent weaknesses that come with not being as big as every guy that's in his position. So, the best thing for him is to be used well and be used in situations that play to his strengths, which are, mostly staying toward the edge and getting out, making plays, being able to use that speed to pursue ball carriers and make tackles. So, if a team understands how to use him and play to his strengths, I think that he's got a chance to be a guy that has a really solid NFL career.
Yeah, and you mentioned the size stuff, and N'Kobe Dean was obviously a popular name, basically the same measurements in terms of height and weight. So if N'Kobe Dean can make it, and I know he fell further than some people, maybe Malcolm Rodriguez can. And it's kind of interesting, you talked about his freshman year, his true freshman year, that, expectations weren't for him to start, but kind of circumstance forced him into the lineup. Well, the Lions aren't a team that is particularly deep in terms of their starters, in terms of their depth at linebacker. So wouldn't completely shock me to see him maybe even get a defensive look this year, but it sounds like he's fully willing and capable as a special teamer. So that's probably where he's at least starting. Last question for me. And I like to ask this of all of our guests. If you could name one play for Malcolm Rodriguez's college career that is a pure Malcolm Rodriguez play. It's who he is. It's what he does best. What was it?
Man, it's really tough because as we've established, we're talking about a guy who made 409 tackles right during the time that I was covering him. So it's hard to weed those down. And it's might be a little bit ironic, but the two plays that stand out, really it's three and two of them I've already talked about, but the two interceptions, the one against Iowa State in 2019, the one against Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl on January 1st, are two plays that I think really showed his instincts at the highest level. There's another play from this past season that really stands out to me, and it ended up being a play that at the time it didn't affect the play. What he did didn't necessarily affect the play because the quarterback got rid of the ball just before he hit him, but he came on I don't know if it was a called delay blitz or if he just his responsibilities led to the situation where he is coming a couple of seconds after the snap. But it was against Texas last year, and he comes in and lays a perfect form tackle on Texas quarterback Casey Thompson, hits him right in the chest just as he releases the ball. It's an incomplete pass. It was an otherwise harmless play, but Thompson has to leave the game. And it came in a moment when Oklahoma State was down and trying to come back in that game. There was another big play by another safety. There was a pick six that was a real huge momentum swing. But that moment, you realize that Oklahoma State wasn't quitting and they weren't giving up, even though they were down in this game. They came back and won the game, and it was one of their biggest wins of the year. But that play, when he comes in, puts Casey Thompson on his back with this incredible hit. I mean, Thompson came back in the game later. I don't know how, because I mean, a normal person would have cracked a couple of ribs from the hit that he took. So really impressive that he came back in the game. But that was a really big moment and one of those highlight plays that that you've seen floating around over the last few weeks as the draft and things have been going on. So that's one that really stands out to me.
I want to take the opportunity to take Jeremy's job from him and say, Scott, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. We want to give you an opportunity, though, to, you know, plug your stuff, let the people know where they can find you. Maybe any kind of, you know, pieces that you've done on Malcolm, or I don't know how involved you were in terms of like the pre-draft process, but like anything that Lions fans might be interested in checking out that's Malcolm Rodriguez. And of course, anything that you would like to like send their way.
Yeah, absolutely. I've written several Malcolm Rodriguez stories over the years to hit on a few of the big ones. First of all, our website is oklahoman.com. My Twitter handle is at Scott Wright. Okay. I don't have anything real recent that I've tweeted out about Malcolm. You have to go back to before the combine back in late February to find anything that I've tweeted out about him recently, but you can Google my name and his name and you should get quite a few things that pop up. A couple of them back in 2019, I wrote a story about his family connections, the things that I talked about, the red chicken that is one of his favorite meals is detailed in there. And what all goes into that. And the wet burrito is another one that he's a big fan of that I believe that's his grandma's dish that has been passed on through the family. So that was one of my favorite ones. I wrote a story last year just detailing, like I asked as many people as I could, what makes this guy so good? Because he's a guy that he doesn't necessarily flash a lot. There aren't just ridiculous plays that he makes that just blow your mind, but he's just so consistent and so reliable. And I just asked a lot of people what makes him so good. And I got a lot of different answers, which seems to fit because there's not just one thing that this guy does well. So that was another fun one that I got to write. And if you do find that pre-combine story, he talked about the importance of showing how fast he really was. And I think that was a big part of why he was a guy selected in the draft and not an undrafted free agent. A lot of people were telling him he was going to run a 4.7 at the combine, and he ran a 4.52, and that was a huge a monumental statement that he made in the pre-draft process that led up to it. And those three stories probably show you the most about both his personality and his commitment to football and his talent level of anything that I've written over him over his career.
That's Scott Wright. Oh man. I don't know if we can continue doing these Ryans because they got me too hyped on all the Lions draft picks.
Yeah. I'm in on Malcolm Rodriguez now. Like if I was out, I'm in now.
Yeah. Well, again, Scott, appreciate your time. Follow him at Scott Wright. Okay. That's the letters. Okay. All of that is one word. And yeah, again, really appreciate your time. Once Malcolm Rodriguez puts on his gold jacket, we'll be sure to have you back on.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with we'll be doing our Spotify Live again today. So make sure you join us on Saturday mornings for that. And then also our main podcast Monday nights, join us for all that. But until then, thank you for listening. It's Chaos. Be kind.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.